Okay, we're starting from Lamed Bet Amud Bet. Just before we go, I want to remind us what we were up to. We had these two brothers married to two sisters. One dies, and then where are all our people in here? Two brothers married to two sisters, and then what happens? One brother dies, she falls to Yibum. Obviously, she's Pachur, she's not allowed to. But what if she does? What if he marries her anyway? And then we talked about there's two Isurim, right? There's Eshet Ach, and there's Achot Isha. And there was a Machloket, which I'll stuck at the top of your page. Va'aleha, Rabbi Yossi says you're Chayav Shtayim, and Rabbi Shimon says you're Chayav Achat. And then we had a question, how could he say that you're Chayav Shtayim, Rabbi Yossi? Because he talks about somewhere else with the Chamoto and the Eshet Ish, that it's Nidom B'zika HaRishona. We have this concept, Ein Isur Chal Al Isur, and therefore, what do we judge it by? One opinion says we go with a more Chamor. But the other opinion says, which is Rabbi Yossi himself, says, Nidom B'zika HaRishona, the Isur that fell upon him first. So then we tried to answer it, and we said, it's Rabbi Abbahu says that Rabbi Yossi is Modeh, that Isur is Chal Al Isur, in which case, in an Isur Mosif, when we add on to the object of Isur, which here is our woman, we add on more Isurim. Okay? Then, once she becomes Usur to more people, then she can also become Usur to him as a Chot Isha, and that's why you're Chayav too. But then they say that only works when the Achot Isha comes second, but when the Eshet Ach comes second. When the Achot Isha comes second, in which case we're not adding any more Isur to this woman, we're just saying that he's forbidden now to more sisters of her. That's called an Isur Kolel. And an Isur Kolel, at least for right now, we think that Rabbi Yossi holds, that's what Rabbi Abbahu says, Isur Kolel, okay, here's the next chart. Rabbi Abbahu holds Isur Mosi, if we say Isur Chal Isur and Yerchayv Shtayim. But Isur Kolel ain't Isur Chal Isur. And that's where we ended yesterday, where we said, if this case, in one direction at least, is only an Isur Kolel, in which case he wouldn't think the Isur Chal Isur, why does he say Yerchayv Shtayim? And the answer is, he doesn't really mean Yerchayv Shtayim. He was talking about for burial purposes. Where does this guy get buried? In which cemetery? In other words, he's considered a Rasha Gamor. And what's the relevance? Because there was different cemeteries for people who were over on more than one, right? When they did a more severe Isur, they went into the more severe cemetery. Okay, we're going to come back to that answer later on also. Okay, now they're going to tell us, Ubiplugta. Okay, what does that mean? Okay, we're now about 12 lines from the top of the page. Ubiplugta. There's a machloket about this issue of Isur Kolel and Rabbi Yossi. At least that's what we're going to think right now. Okay? That there's a machloket about what Rabbi Yossi held. Not everybody agreed that what Rabbi Abbahu said. Rabbi Abbahu said that in an Isur Kolel, since we're not adding on to the object any more things, therefore we can't add another Isur and you're only chai of one. But now we're going to see that some people think that Rabbi Yossi agreed even in Isur Kolel that we could say Isur Chal al Isur. There is a place for the Isur to Chal because now he's going to be Usher to more sisters. So therefore, Achot Isha comes into play, and therefore, when he sleeps with her, he's over also on Achot Isha. The Achot Isha has a place to fall, and therefore it does. Okay, now we're going to see three cases. The way it's going to work is like this. I'll give you a little bit of a preview, okay? But we're going to have one explanation. There's a machlokah to Rabbi Chiya and Bar Kapara in these three cases. Now, we're going to have one explanation. The first one is going to be that the whole basis of the machlokah is that Rabbi Yossi holds, what Rabbi Yossi holds about Isur Kolel. Then we're going to say, oh wait, but one of these cases isn't an Isur Kolel, we're going to reject it. So then we're going to say, oh, they were talking about a different, there was a machloket about Rabbi Yossi, about Isur Chal Isur, in a particular case called Bat Echad, which we'll get to in a minute. And then, not Bat like a woman, but at the same moment, okay, when everything falls at the same moment, we'll get to there soon. And then they're going to reject that, and then they're going to say, oh, it's a machloket be Isur Bat Echad l'Rabbi Shimon. Okay? In other words, they're not arguing about Rabbi Yossi at all. In other words, first they thought it was Rabbi Yossi Isur Kolel. Then they're going to say, no, it's Rabbi Yossi, and what happens in the case of Bat Echad. Then they're going to say, no, this has nothing to do with Rabbi Yossi. It's all arguing about within Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Okay? That's the way the sugya is going to work. So let's see our three cases, and then we'll see all those shlevim. De'itma, it was said, Zar Sheshimesh B'Shabbat. Okay, what if a guy who's not a Kohen comes into the Beit HaMikdash and he does avoda in the Mikdash on Shabbat? Now, what do you have here? You have doing malacha on Shabbat, because the avoda is malacha. And then you have, right, which we learned about, the avoda on Shabbat is doche Shabbat, right? but it's Doche Shabbat for who? For Kohanim, right? Or maybe not. Maybe it's Nidche B'chlal. We don't know. That's going to be the question. So this Tzar does two things, basically. He's working in the Mikdash on Shabbat, and he's working in the Mikdash. So what's going to be? Rabbi Chiya Omer Chayav Shtayim. He's Chayav Mishum Shabbat, and he's Chayav Mishum Tzar that does Avodah in the Mikdash. Bar Kapara Omer Eino Chayav Ela Achat. Okay? That's their machlok. Kafat Rabbi Chiya V'Nishba Ha'avodah. Okay, that's like a Lashon Shfuah in the time of the Gemara. I swear, Kach Shamati Mi Rabbi Shtayim. I heard from Rabbi that he said in this case Shtayim. Kafat Kapara V'Nishba Ha'avodah. Kach Shamati Mi Rabbi Achat. Okay, they each say, I swear in the name of Rabbi, I heard he said this. My opinion. Hitchil Rabbi Chiya Ladun. Now he tries to explain himself. Shabbat Lakol Ne'esra. It was Asur to everybody. Kishuhutra b'mikdash, etzal kohanim utra, l'kohanim utra v'lo l'zarim. Okay, when we said that Shabbat is nidche, right, because of the avodah and the mikdash, that was only for the kohanim, the lo l'zarim. By the way, you could possibly connect this. When we learned about, we're going to see two cases. One is Shabbat and one is tumah. We learned about both these things, the tumah hutra b'tzibor, which means that when most of the tzibor is tameh and we can't do the korbanot tzibor, mm-hmm. we allow people to work tameh in the mikdash. Okay, that's called tumah hutra b'tzibor. Shabbat, also, we say Shabbat is overridden by the avodah hamikdash. Now, we talked both in those cases in the past about whether tumah, is it dechuya, is it totally put, right, is it pushed off, but it's still kind of there, but pushed off, or is it hutar legamre? So this could be also part of that machloket. If you say it's hutar legamre, then it doesn't matter whether you're a kohen or you're a zar. Whether you say it's dechuya, it means we're pushing it off, but only for those who are allowed to do it, and not necessarily for everybody. Okay. So, it's a kohenim hutra, lekohenim hutra v'lo lezarim. Therefore, yesh mishum zarut, v'yesh mishum shabbat. So therefore, he's chayav too. Hitchil bar kapara ledun. He says, no. Shabbat lekol ne'esra. Shabbat was forbidden to everyone. Kishahutra b'mikdash hutra. But when it was hutar in the mikdash, it was hutar to everybody. Ein kan ela zarut. So therefore, we're just left with the Isur of Zar, and therefore, he's only chayav. Next case. Baal mum shashimesh betuma. A baal mum can't do avoda. A baal mum, right, and a person who's tameh can't do avoda. What about a baal mum who became tameh? And he was mishamish while he was tameh in the mikdash. Rabbi Chiya omer chayav shtayim, bar kapara omer ein chayav el echad. This case could be very similar to the other one. Kafat Rabbi Chiya v'nishba ha'avoda, kach shamati mi Rabbi shtayim. Kafat bar kapara v'nishba ha'avoda, kach shamati mi Rabbi achad. Hitchil Rabbi Chiya ladun. Tuma lakol ne'esra, right? Tuma was forbidden to everybody. Kishahutra b'mikdash, it's l'kohanim t'mimim hutra. L'kohanim t'mimim hutra v'lo l'ban le'mumim. When they were matur, tuma hutra b'mikdash, what did we say? Or tuma hutra b'tzibor. Only for kohanim t'mimim, but not for people who can't do avoda like balei mumim. Yesh kamishum balei mumim, v'yesh kamishum tuma. So it's two isurim. Hitzchil b'kapara ladum. Tuma lakol ne'esra. Kishahutra b'mikdash hutra. En kan ela mishum baal mum. Okay, once it was mutar to everybody, and therefore we just have a baal mum issue. Okay, third case, you need a little background. There's what's called a chatata of. Chatata of, you kill the of not by a regular way of shechita, you kill him by something called malika, where you put it back, you put your finger in the back of his neck, and you strangle him, you kind of like choke him that way. It was like a special talent. In fact, the Kohanim used to grow their nails long in order to be able to do it. They would have this special long nail that they would use to kill the chicken. We don't have to get into too many more details. That's called malika.
I had a kid who used that as an excuse for not cutting his nails.
The malika finger? Mm. Yeah, fit. Okay, I'll try that next time.
No.
Better than a drug. Okay, so azar sha'achal malika. What happens here? Now, malika, only for the chatata of, there's a few things you have to know. Number one, the chatata of, you can't eat this of, and no one can eat this of, right, until you do malika. Once you do malika, it's mutar to the kohanim and asur to the zarim. Okay? At the moment you do malika, that makes this chicken could have been eaten by anybody if it was shechted properly. So the isur for the zar to eat this is right at the moment they do malika. Okay? While they kill it, then it becomes mutar. You know, it's a sort of, the truth is, no, I'm wrong. I messed up. This chatata of was designated as a korban. So from the beginning, it's asr mishum kodshim. It's kodshim, and it's not mutar to anybody. At the moment of Malita, it becomes mutar to the Kohen and asur to Azar. That's the moment that it turns into Isser. Okay? Now, what's the problem? For the Kohen, it's mutar to eat, because he's allowed to eat the chatata if it's meant for him to eat, but the Zar is not allowed to eat it. And therefore, for the Zar, since it was done by Malika, which isn't a normal way of shechita, it's considered an avela, which is an animal that wasn't shechted properly. So that's going to be our issue here. Zar shachal Malika. Rabbi Chiyov omer chayav shtayim. Bar Kapara omer en chayav el echad. This is going to be very familiar now. Kapat Rabbi Chiyov v'nishpa ha'avodah. Kach shamati mi Rabbi shtayim. Kapat bar kapara v'nishba ha'avodah. Kach shamati mi Rabbi echad. Right, each one swears. I heard Rabbi say one. I heard Rabbi say two. Hitchil Rabbi Chiyov ledum. Rabbi Chiyov starts to explain. Nevela lakol ne'esra. Nevela is usher to everybody, right? With again, Malika is a form of nevela. Kishahutra v'mikdash etzokhanim hutra. Lekhanim hutra v'lo lezarim. Therefore, it was, Malika was only a heter for the khanim. Yesh kamishum zarut v'yesh kamishum Malika. Hitchil bar kapara ledum. Nevela lakol ne'esra. Nevela was forbidden to everybody. Kishahutra v'mikdash hutra. But then they allowed it for this chatata of. So they were machir v'esra b'chlal. This chatata of that has Malika is not called a nevela anymore. Ein kan ela mishum zarut. So it's just a zar. So now, even though it's interesting here, is each one explained their logic, right? But it's not satisfactory to the Gemara. The Gemara says there must be something underlying their answers. Even though they kind of explain themselves, there must be something underneath what they're talking about. So the first answer is like this. What's their machloket? Be'isur kolel. They're arguing about in Isur Kolel, because these are cases of Isur Kolel. Again, what's Isur Kolel? Isur Kolel is when you add not onto the object itself, but you add more Isurim onto the person. So it's a perfect example, right? He was forbidden to go into the Mikdash, and now it's Shabbat, so he's also forbidden because of Shabbat. That's an Isur Kolel, because it's Kolel, more Isurim for this person. So now what do they say? So they're Kamiflage, they're arguing about Isur Kolel, but Aliba de Rabbi Yossi. That's the machloket, what Rabbi Yossi held about Isur Kolel. Okay, Rabbi Yossi was an Emora who lived before these two guys. So now, what's the issue? Rabbi Chiya Savar, Rabbi Yossi, b'Isur Kolel, Machayev Tarte, right? So again, right, you can look at what they say. Rabbi Chiya holds Isur Kolel Isur, and you're Chayev twice. Why are you Chayev twice? Because he says, here's a case of Isur Kolel. And Rabbi Yossi holds that in Isur Kolel, you're Chayev two. In an Isur Kolel, we can add on Isurim. Now, that's against the way Rabbi Abahu explained Rabbi Yossi. That's why I started today with Rabbi Abahu. So you remember, if you don't, it's on the sheet. Rabbi Abahu said that Rabbi Yossi's shita is that in Isur Kolel, ain Isur Chal Isur. Only in the Isur Mosif, when you're Mosif to the goof of the object of Isur, not when you're Mosif onto yourself. But that's where Rabbi Chiya disagrees and says, Isur Kolel Chayv Tarti. Bar Kapara Savar, like Rabbi Abahu, that lo mechayev el echad, that Rabbi Yossi is only mechayev one. Umay isur kolel ika. So now they say, wait, but my isur kolel ika hacha. What isur kolel is there in these cases? So bishlama, we can understand the zar. The zar case we already explained, right? Mi'ikara, shari b'malacha, v'asur b'avoda, atila shabbat. Okay, so what happens? First, he's just forbidden to do malacha in the mikdash. Then, but he's mutter to do malacha in general, right? He could do any work he wants outside the mikdash, okay? But he's asur b'avoda in the mikdash. Akila Shabbat comes along Shabbat. Migo de kamitzer b'malacha. Now he's forbidden now to do all malachot, even outside the mikdash. So therefore, there's chalut of the isur, right? Mitzer nami b'avoda. And that's called an isur kola. Balmum, same thing. Mi'ikara shari b'achila v'asur b'avoda. First, he's allowed to eat anything he wants because the Baal Mum can eat kodshim. And he's forbidden ba'avoda. Itamela, but now that he becomes tamei, migo de kamitzer ba'achila, mitzernami ba'avoda. Now all of a sudden he has a new isur upon him. He now can't eat the kodshim. When he was the Baal Mum, he was allowed to eat kodshim, he just couldn't work. Now he can't eat kodshim. So now that he can't eat, he also, the isur of Isur Kolel is that also he can't work. Ela Malika, but Malika is not the same. Now, until now, we've described Isur Kolel as being first you're chayiv in one thing, and then comes something else. Both Isur Kolel and Isur Mosif fell into that category. So that's the whole question. Since first it had one thing, maybe we just judge it by that one thing. But now the Malika doesn't work so well. Why? Ela Malika bebat achat hi demishkachala. Be Isur Kolel lo mishkachala. Isur Kolel can only be when first you're chayiv in one thing, and then something else comes. the Malika, what did I say? At the moment he does Malika, that's when the Isra Zar comes into play. Because until then, it's just a forbidden item. No one's allowed to touch a Mishum Hekdesh, and that's not Mishum Zar. Okay? It's Mishum Hekdesh. It actually is Usher in the beginning, but it's Usher for a different reason entirely, which doesn't apply once it switches. So now, at the moment you do Malika, it's both Usher to a Zar, and it becomes a Nevela all at the same moment. So now, they say that can't be called an Isra Kolel. So therefore, they reject this argument. Okay, but remember it, because we're going to a little bit go back to this, okay? That the first two are Kolel, and the third is Batachan. So now, what do they say? And as we obviously assume that these three are all in one category, so now we want to try to find how can we call these all by the same name, and then say that their machloket is about what somebody holds about that issue. Okay, so now what do they say? Ela kamiflage bi'isur b'bat achat v'aliba d'Rabbi Yossi. Let's create a situation where all three of these cases can be b'bat achat. Now, it's true until now, we described the first two cases, they're not b'bat achat. But we could create a scenario where it would be b'bat achat. How could we do that? Let's see. So, assuming we can create that scenario, what they're saying is these three cases, the machloka Rabbi Chiya bar Kapara was all about, What does Rabbi Yossi hold in the case of if they both fall b'bat achat? Now, before we go on, I want you to think about it for a minute. Is it more likely in b'bat achat, if both Yisroim fall at the same moment, that Yisro chal al Yisro or ain't Yisro chal al Yisro? Why ain?
Because you're doing one action.
So which one would you go by then?
Chayv achat.
No, but which achad would you go by? Okay, so maybe you'd say that. You'd say they all fall at once, so we're just going to go by, that's one way of looking at it, we're just going to go by the more chamor one.
It's the opposite, because their whole premise is whichever one comes first.
So yes,
saying
yes, yes. So what Shari's saying is a little bit more the direction the Gemara is going to go, okay? Although there is room for what Donna's saying. There's definitely room to say that, and that's why there are opinions that say that that's the case, that it would be only one. However, the more prominent de'ah, or gisha, is that really when they both fall at the same time, there's no way, we can't say b'zika rishona, because remember, the logic of Rabbi Yossi wasn't zika rishona, the logic of his was, I'm sorry, wasn't the more chamura. His logic was it's the one that comes first, and since they both come at the same time, it's more likely to say that they're both chal, okay? And therefore, it's more likely anyway, okay? Just keep that in the back of your head for a while we go through this. So now they're going to be kamiflagei b'isur b'bat achav, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Chiya Savar, Rabbi Yossi b'isur b'bat achav mechayev tarti. He would be chayev too, just like he's chayev too in the Isur Mosif, right? And Isur Kola, we don't know really, right? That's a question. Ubar kapar savar lo mechayev elachada. Okay, he's only chayev one. V'hacha, my Isur b'bat achat ika. Okay, so bar kapar would say, along the lines of Dana, that even though sometimes we're chayev two, in this case we're only chayev one. So now, bar kapara savar, v'hacha mai isur bat achat yiko. But how? What's the case of bat achat here? Zar sheshimesh b'shabbat, kigon da'ay teshtei sarot b'shabbat, da'avi lezarot b'shabbat v'hadeh hadadeh. He bidyuk becomes bar mitzvah, chayev mitzvot, okay? His shtei sarot come out on Shabbat. So the first, that day, he becomes bar mitzvah, he's in the Beit HaMikdash, he's so excited about being in the Beit HaMikdash, baby, on his bar mitzvah, right? And he decides to do a voda. So now what happens? His Chiyuv Shabbat and his Chiyuv Zarut fall at the same time. Balmum, Nami, Kigon Da'ayte Shtei Sarot Itamela. Okay, he Shtei Sarot come out, and at that moment he's Mitame. So again, what happens? Dehavile Balmum Bituma Bahade Hadade. They both come at the same moment. Inami, or you could say, Shechatach Etzba'o B'Sakin Tme'a. Okay, he cuts off his finger and turns himself into a balmum. I'm glad you're laughing. With a tame knife. This case actually has a bit of problems because as soon as the knife touches him, before it actually slices his finger, he's already tame before. Okay, so you have to say it was like a real hard chop that chopped it all off in 1 second. Sorry.
Or this is so exciting.
You also have to say, by the way, that someone else was holding the knife because otherwise he wouldn't be tame from this knife, right? And he'd be tame first before he cut his finger off. It would have to be someone else chopped off his finger with the knife. Okay, anyway, obviously a bit of a random or out there answer, but they're trying to come up with some sort of situation where they could both happen b'bat achat. Bishlama, Okay, so that's the answer. So basically, all three are batachat. The machloket is, what does Rabbi Yossi say? Does he say two or does he say one? But now we're going to have a problem. What's the issue here? Remember, each one swore that they heard Rebbe say that this is the case. So now, if each one swears, we got to assume that they're telling the truth. And that the other one, each has respect for the other that they're telling the truth. So now we have to figure out, if each heard Rebbe say it, the other one has to explain how the other opinion could have some way that Rebbe could have said this. Now, he couldn't have said it about Rabbi Yossi in Bat Chat, but maybe he could say it, let's say, in the opinion of Rabbi Shimon or something. In other words, the maybe Rebbe said, yes, this is the case, but it was a leba to somebody else, okay? And who's somebody else in our case? Rabbi Shimon. So we're going to see that that only works in one direction. Let's see it inside. Bishlama the Rabbi Chia. Ki et nae lidide aliba de Rabbi Yossi. Ki et nae labar kapara aliba de Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Chia would say like this. What Rebbe said, I said, Rebbe said, right, which is Yochai Shtaim, that was Rabbi Yossi. Rebbe said it in the name of Rabbi Yossi. And when Bar Kapara, this is only Rabbi Chia thinks, Bar Kapara claims that Rebbe said in the name of Rabbi Yossi, but I'll just tell you very simply, right? Ki itne ala Bar Kapara, aliba de Rabbi Shimon, what he heard Rebbe say, that Yochai have only one, that must have been l'shitat Rabbi Shimon. Because again, look at the top. Rabbi Yossi holds in general Chayav Shtayim. Rabbi Shimon Chayav Achat in the Baaleha case anyway, right? So now we're going to say this is like that, where Rabbi Yossi, I think Rabbi Yossi holds two. And you got confused when Rebbe said Chayav 1, you thought it was Rabbi Yossi. You're wrong, it was Rabbi Shimon. But it only works in that direction. Because Labar Kapara, Rabbi Chia Shikurei Kamashakir? How could Bar Kapara possibly explain if even Rabbi Yossi, according to him, holds in Bat Achat the Ein Yisro Chal Isra and you're only Chayav 1, then there's nobody who would hold in this case your chayiv two. Rabbi Shimon's not going to switch all of a sudden and they'll flip Shitot and Rabbi Shimon will say your chayiv twice. So therefore, Bar Kapara has no way to explain Rabbi Chia except to say that he must be lying. And we're not going to assume that that's the case, so therefore we're going to reject this answer. Okay. Ella kamiflege bi'isur batachat v'alibet Rabbi Shimon. Let's try to flip it and then it'll work. It'll answer up that question. Obviously, though, what? It'll raise the question on the flip side. Okay, in other words, the question was on Bar Kapara, right? I wrote here on the sheet. Ein derech shebar kapara yechol azbir shita Rabbi Chia, except by saying that Rabbi Chia is lying. Obviously, if we switch it and we say that the machloket is about Rabbi Shimon, we're going to have the opposite problem. And we're going to have an additional problem. But then we're going to answer them up. That dafka, this answer is going to hold. So now, in a little bit of a convoluted way. Ela kamiflege b'isur batachat v'alibet Rabbi Shimon. Now we're going to say, not only was this not Isur Kol El Rabbi Yossi, like we thought in the beginning, but it's not even Rabbi Yossi at all. It's batachat and it's Rabbi Shimon. Okay, what does Rabbi Shimon say? Now remember, back to what Shari said. If they fall b'batachat, it's more likely that we would say the Chayiv Shtayim, because there's no way to go by which one are we going to go by, and it all happens at once. So according to Shari's logic, the Gemara is going to say that even Rabbi Shimon in this case, at least according to one opinion, will hold, right, according to Rabbi Chia, will hold Shtayim, okay, because it all happened at once. Again, Bar Kapara is going to still hold, the Rabbi Shimon holds one. But Rabbi Chia is going to say, no, Bar Kapara holds two. So let's read. So now they're going to say, right, they don't even explain what I just explained. They take it as obvious, you know. So now they're going to say, now what happened in this case? Each one says, I swear that he said this. And when you say, I swear, it's because you have to prove yourself, right? Yep. And you're saying something a little bit radical. So you have to say, I swear. In fact, Gabrielle said it in Shir the other night. She said, when you say, I think it was she who said, when you say something, I for sure saw this, it means it's not so for sure, right? Yes. Okay, so now, what's he saying? If bishlama l'Rabbi Chia, kamishtaba, why? La'fuke Rabbi Shimon michezke. He had to make a point because Rabbi Shimon always holds one, your chayav one, and in this case, he holds two. So he's saying, I swear he holds two in this case, because he has to really prove his point, because he's making a jump. He's taking Rabbi Shimon out of, you can see the words of the Gemara, out of his chazakah. Remember, we had the whole thing chazakah. What was she, bechazkat Mary? Was she, right? Rabbi Shimon is bechazkat that he holds one. So he has to swear about it. But obviously, the reverse is going to be problematic, right? So, ela labar kapara, lama leli shtibui. Why does he need to swear? So they say kasha. It's somewhat difficult. Another question is the same one we had the other way, right? Now the reverse. Bishlamar of Bar Kapara. Bar Kapara we can explain. Because again, what does he say? Bar Kapara holds that you're chayav only one, right? According to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Chiya holds that Rabbi Shimon says you're chayav two. So what will he say? Well, it's Bar Kapara will say to Rabbi Chiya, while it's true that you heard Rebbe say, I believe you that you heard Rebbe say chayav shtayim, but you just got mixed up because he said it not in Rabbi Shimon, but in Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says two. As you got confused. So Bishlamah the Bar Kapara. Bar Kapara thinks that Rabbi Shimon really holds only one. So he's saying that according to Rabbi Chiya, when Rabbi Chiya said, I swear he says this, you're right, he said it, but he didn't say it about Rabbi Shimon, he said it in the name of Rabbi Yossi. So ki etniya Rabbi lididi, when Rabbi swore the, what I said, is was aliba de Rabbi Shimon. But ki etniya the Rabbi Chiya aliba de Rabbi Yossi, right? But when he said it, when Rabbi Chiya said he said it, that was aliba de Rabbi Yossi, okay? But ela le Rabbi Chiya, bar kapara shikure kamashaker, but according to Rabbi Chiya, how could he explain bar kapara? If even Rabbi Shimon holds your chayv shtayim here, that in bat achat we're going to say two isurim fall at the same time, your chayv shtayim, then obviously Rabbi Yossi is going to hold that, so no one is going to hold in this case, only one, right? And then he's got no way to say, what did bar kapara say that Rabbi said? Nothing left. So he'd have to say he's lying, and again, we don't want to say that. So now we're going to say a convoluted explanation as to what Rabbi Chiya could claim that Bar Kapara thought to make Bar Kapara say that Rabbi said, "Ein Yisro Chal Yisro V'chayev Echad." For this, we're going to have to distinguish. Remember I told you that the first two cases were Yisro Kolel, and the second case was different. It was Bat Echad. Until now, we tried to lump all three together. We're now going to say they are lumped together. But Bar Kapara had some confusion about it because, okay, we'll see. That maybe they weren't all lumped together originally, and then, okay, then this is what happened with Bar Kapara. Amar lecha Rabbi Chiya, ki eni Rabbi lididi tarte liftor. Okay, when Rabbi said, according to me, right, to liftor atnie, v'isor kolal atnie, v'aliba de Rabbi Shimon. Okay, he said it, right, that you're high of two, because he was talking about Yisro Kolel. Baliba de Rabbi Shimon. One second. Before I go on, I just have to check one thing. Right. Okay. Sorry. When Rebbe said, I misread this. When Rebbe said, according to Bar Kapara, Eino Chayav Ela Echad, okay, he was talking about the first two cases. Liftor Atnie. The first two cases, okay, remember we have our Zar and we have Baal Mum. So now, here, I brought some pen, where is it? Here, okay. We had our Zar and Baal Mum case. Now those are Yisro Kolel, right? So this is what Bar Kapara said. Bar Kapara said, you're only chayav one. In which case are you only chayav one, according to Rabbi Yossi? I'm sorry, according to Rabbi Shimon? According to Rabbi Shimon, what does Rabbi Chiya say? According to Rabbi Shimon, in the case of Bat Achat, you're Chayav 2, right? But in the case of Yisro Kolel, you'd be Chayav 1. So what happened here? What does he say? That when Bar Kapara heard Rabbi, what did he hear Rabbi on? Not on the third case. Now remember, the first two cases are Yisro Kolel, right? But we, for now, turned them into Bat Achat. We said it's a case where it's an Yisro Kolel, but they fall Bevat Achat. And that's why, according to Rabbi Chiya, you're Chayav Shtayim, even according to Rabbi Shimon. But now we're going to say, what was Bar Kapara thinking when he heard Rabbi say, you're Chayav 1? But he was talking about the first two cases when it was just Yisro Kolel and not Bat Achat. Okay? So he heard Rabbi say about just an Yisro Kolel, when it's not Bat Achat, that Rabbi Shimon holds only one. Now that we would all agree is true. The Rabbi Shimon and Yisro Kolel holds your only Chayav 1. So that's what he heard Rebbe talk about. But what happened? Chazi labar kapara lezar shacham alika. He saw that case of lezar shacham alika, case number 3, which we said isn't Yisro Kolel, right? It's Yisro Bat Achat. V'aide didami ala, but he noticed they were similar. Arva bahadayu. He included that together in that category. He kind of got mixed up. V'ayin ba, and then he looked at it. V'lo eshkach ela bebat achat. But then he said, once he put this case in the category, okay, with the others, he looked at it and he said, wait, but this case can only happen bebat achat, right? B'stavar midaha b'bat achat hanami b'bat achat. He did all the same logic that basically our Gemara did, right? He said, oh, well, it's this case of Zar Shachal Malika, right? The Malika case can only happen in bat achat. Then it must be, since it's, I already grouped it together with these. In other words, he kind of did this, right? It's a little bit, that's why I said it's convoluted. It started off, they were split. He then joined them. Once he joined them, he said, oh, but this one can only happen bat achat. So therefore, the others must be a case of they happen b'bat achat. And then, umidahanach liftor, hanachnami liftor. And since he heard Rebbe say the first two cases were mutter, meaning only one, therefore he thought that also these other, the other cases only one, and therefore he came to the conclusion that bat achat, you're only chayav one, according to Rabbi Shimon, but that wasn't really what Rebbe meant at all. Rebbe meant only on the first two cases. So now you see that according to this, he lied a little bit. Now, he didn't really lie. It was just...
Misunderstood.
He misunderstood.
This claims that he forgot that he was the one who had categorized them.
Okay. So you could... Right. You'd have to say that, I guess. He's the one who put them together, and then he kind of didn't realize that I put them together, and that caused the... Right? That's why I said it's a little convoluted. You have to assume a bunch of things here. But that's some convoluted way that we could try to explain what he was possibly thinking. Again, that usually we have a machloket and you don't care what the other guy was thinking, right? Here, since he swore, you say it can't be he swore for no good reason. So he must have thought something. So now we try to figure out what it was he thought.
It's strange because the Malika case is the most far-fetched in Bat Achat.
It's the most far-fetched. Why? Why is it far? No, it's Dafka Bat Achat because it all happens at one moment. The other ones were far-fetched. The other ones we had to say, oh, he brought Simanim exactly at that moment. Which exactly makes sense.
Really does, right,
that one really, it all happens with bat achat. That's the whole chiddush of it, right? It happens, that's what caused our whole problem. Okay?
You have to fight to make them bat achat. This one starts off that way.
Right, this one can only happen with bat achat.
No,
that's the balmum. That's the balmum, not
that's
the
why you have to come up with this whole explanation in order to make it.
That's what we said before, exactly. But first we thought it was Yisro Kola, then we said, but case number three of Maliga can't be Yisro Kola. It has to be bat achat.
Okay?
Okay, so now they're going to bring a question on Bar Kapara according to this. Meitive. Zar sheshimesh b'shabat, ubalmum sheshimesh b'tuma, yesh kamishum zarut, umishum shabat, umishum balmum, umishum tuma, divrei Rabbi Yossi. Okay, so here we have the first two cases, right? Case number one and case number two are Isser Kolel cases. Okay, you're going to see here that there is a distinction. Here they're listed separately without the third case. Okay, which maybe supports a little bit of what we're saying. It's separate, but we'll see there's a problem here. So these cases are chayav shtayim, according to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Shimon Omer, ein kan ele mishum zarut ubalmum bilvad. You're only chayav one. Ve'ilu Malika shayra. Malika was left out of here. Okay, so now they're going to say, to whom was it left out? Leman shayra. What does it mean, to whom was it left out? It means that if they say there's a machloket in these two cases and they don't bring the third, what does that mean? It means that somebody agrees with the other guy. In other words, they both agree about that case. So now the question is, who agrees with who in the Malika case? Ilema la Rabbi Yossi. If you're going to say Rabbi Yossi agrees, you're going to say that what? If he would agree, what would he say? You're only chayav one in the Malika case. If that's the case, it's problematic. Hashtag Rabbi Yossi, b'isr kolam machayv shtayim, but b'isr bat achat mebaye. Okay, against Donna's logic, we're going to say like Sherry's logic. If in isr kolam you're chayv shtayim, so b'isr bat achat, obviously you're going to be chayv shtayim. Okay? Elalav le Rabbi Shimon, who b'isr kolam hu tapater. Aval b'isr bat achat mechayv. So now what do you say? It must be that Rabbi Shimon is maskim with, right? Rabbi Shimon must agree in the Malika case with Rabbi Yossi. What would he say? That even though normally we only chayav achat, when it happens b'bat achat, we're going to be b'chayav shtayim. Okay? And therefore, what do you see? That according to this explanation, it goes against Bar Kapara. What did Bar Kapara say? Look again at your chart. That in a case of b'at achat, according to Rabbi Shimon, you're only chayav one. And according to what comes out of this braita, that the Maliga case is missing here, that if it were to happen b'bat achat, Rabbi Shimon would agree with Rabbi Yossi. And therefore, it contradicts Bar Kapara according to our explanation. So they say, Tiyuvta. Okay, this is a problem. Tiyuvta to Bar Kapara, Tiyuvta. Okay. Now we're going to bring another case. Okay. Now we're going to explain. Now what we have a problem is, which is something I didn't explain on purpose when we got to it, which is, what avod is he doing in the Mikdash? We talked about the Tzar is doing avod in the Mikdash. What malacha of Shabbat Is he overriding, right? Is he transgressing? What's the question? What are the avodot in the mikdash? There's shchita, there's zrika, you sprinkle the blood. There's a kabbalah. First you accept the blood. Then there's holacha and zrika, right? You walk the blood and then you sprinkle it. And then there's haktara on the mizbeach, right? Burning the fire on the mizbeach. Okay? So let's go through why we have a problem here. Zar sheshimesh b'shabat b'mai. What was he doing? Ibishchita, if you remember, we learned this in Yoma. Shchita b'zar k'shera. A zar can do shchita, so it can't be shchita. And a shchita would be your obvious malacha. But it's not a malacha. And it's not a problem with zar. It would be a malacha, but not zar. V'ibe kabbalah, the holacha, if you're talking about accepting the dam and walking it, that's tiltu ba'amu, it's just carrying. That's not, you know, you could say, oh, it's tiltu, but that's like a minor isser. That wouldn't be something you'd say, oh, you're chayav shtayim. V'ibe haktara, if you're saying maktir, so you're burning a fire, that we know is a problem. But what's the issue here? Ha'ama Rabbi Yossi himself, who's our Baal Machloket here, who says you're chayav shtayim, he holds in this famous machloket we've seen a bunch of times, Havara lelav yatzata. What does that mean? Yatzata. Havara, remember this, the lama tab malacha don't appear in the Torah. It just says lo tasek ha-malacha. Then comes this pasuk, lo tivaru esh b'chomosh votechem, and they say, why are you specifying just this one thing? So one guy says, it's specified lechalek yatzata, to teach you that each malacha is judged as a separate malacha, you're chayav on each one independently. If you over on four malachot on Shabbat, you're chayav chata four times, if you do it b'shogeg. And then a korban chata comes into play. But Havara, according to Rabbi Yossi, it separates, it's distinguished from lo tasek kol malacha to teach you it's not chayav kared and b'shogeg chayav, right? And if it's, you know, skila and b'shogeg, you'd be chayav chata. No, it's to tell you it's just an isra lav. Now, if it's just an isra lav, then there's no korban chata. Then the assumption here, Isur lav means it's just a lo tase. There's regular lo tases in the Torah. Don't do this, don't do that. Most of the lo tases are regular lo tases. In unique cases, they have mitat beitin, they have karet, they're much more severe. And in cases where you have b'mezig karet, b'shogeg, you would have to bring a korban chatat. And generally, when we say you're chayav achad, you're chayav shtayim, obviously you can't be chayav achad and shtayim on death, like you're chayav two deaths, right? But you'd be chayav to bring two korbanot chatat if you did it, or something like that. So the assumption is here, if it's just a lav, then that's not what he's saying that you're chayav shtayim. So haktara wouldn't be a good avoda, a good example of being over on a malacha on Shabbos, according to Rabbi Yossi, who holds that it's just a lav. So Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, we found a case. What's the case? Shchitat parosha kohen gadol. Ukedivrei haomer, shchitat parosha kohen gadol bizar psula. If you recall, we had this opinion when we learned Yoma, that the Kohen Gadol has to do all of the avodot from the beginning to the end, meaning he even has to shech the par. Okay? So, according to the guy who says that he has to shech his own par, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about that someone came into the Mikdash, a Zar, and he did the shechita of the par on Shabbat, and that would be our case. So we've now minimized our case to a very unique case of just Yom Kippur, basically. Okay? And the shechita of the par. So then they say, but ihati my iria zar, afilu kohen hedyonami. Right? It's not just the zar, it's any kohen. Because only the kohen gadol can do it. So then they say, no, that's not a problem, because zar et lo ka'amar. Zar means anyone who can't do this avoda. Zar in this case means kohen hedyot and yisra. So then they say, okay, so therefore what's the case? The case is shchitat parosho kohen gadol. So now, matkif la Rav Ashi, midi chakta'ot katane o lave katane. Who's to say that, right, what did we say? We rejected Rabbi Yossi saying Havara Lalav Yatza to say the assumption here is we're talking about how many korbanot chatat should he bring. But they say, it never even says chatat kan. It doesn't even say lav. It just says Isur Ba'alma Kachashiv. So what do they say? It must be that it just means, is it usur? Does he have two Isurim? And therefore it doesn't, you can even say it's shchita. So they answer, and then they say, just like we said before, that's why I said in the beginning, we're going to come back to this, l'may nafkamina, if it's just Isurim, then what's the relevance? L'kovro b'em Rishayim Gemurim. That's what we want to know. Was he over on two Isurim, and therefore we're going to bury him with the Rishayim Gemurim. Okay. So we're going to start the next Mishnah, and then we'll end here for today. Shnayim shekidshu shtei nashim, u'bishat k'nisatan l'chupa, hichlifu et shel zeh l'zeh, ve'et shel zeh l'zeh. Okay, they came to marry two women at the same time. Okay, a double wedding. And somehow the brides got switched, and they ended up marrying, they ended up with the other one.
Sisters.
Okay, now, no, they're not sisters, but, well, we'll see, they could be sisters, okay? Now, again, these women were already mekudashim, right? They were meurasim, so they were like an eshet ish already, right? They were forbidden. But now, they're going to be with the wrong guy, okay? Now, the Gemara is going to say hechlifu, did they do this on purpose or by accident, right? They're going to say in the end, it wasn't, it's hechlifu sounds like they did it on purpose, but they're going to say it really means huchlifu. It got confused, right? It wasn't clear who was marrying who. Hare elu chayavim mishum eshet ish. Okay, they're chayav mishum eshet ish. They now married someone who was designated to somebody else. V'im hayu achim, if they were brothers, now they're chayav also mishum eshet av. Here you can see we're getting into all these cases again. Double, triple, quadruple isurim. Okay, so if they were brothers, now they're chayav mishum eshet av. V'im hayu achayot, okay, like someone said, right? What if they were sisters? Mishum isha alachota. V'im hayu nidot, and if they were also nida at the time, mishum nida. Okay? Now, what do you do in this case? Mafrishin otan shlosha chodashim, shema mu'ubaroten. Okay, now, this is why they assume it can't be on purpose. Because b'meizi, what would we say? If you sleep with an eshet ish, asur labal and asur laboel, right? She can't go back and marry her first husband. The assumption here is she can go back and marry her first husband, okay? But she has to wait 3 months because maybe she got pregnant from the guy she was with and we won't know who the baby belongs to. V'imayu ktanot she'en ruyot leled, machzirin otam miyad. Okay, they can go immediately and stay married to the guy they were supposed to be married to. V'imayu kohanot, and if they were kohanot, okay, they were married to kohanim, or, right, I think that's explained kohanot. Mm-hmm.
Daughters of.
Right, the Gemara is going to explain what this kohanot is exactly, so we'll wait to hear it then. Nifsilu min hatruma. Okay, they're pasul from truma. And the assumption is they also can't get married to their original husband because a Kohen, if someone gets raped, for example, okay, so she can't go back to the Kohen and be married to him. Okay, it's a problem for Kohanim. So she'd also kind of, we'll see in the Gemara, be nipsal from that.
So wait, Kisatana Chupa here means that they actually consummated their marriage?
Ah, so there's a little bit of a question about what does this mean?
That's what it
did
says.
Did they do Knisa L'Chupa or were they about to do Knisa L'Chupa? Right, there's a bit of a debate about how this goes. I'm trying to remember exactly what they say. 1 second.
This translates as how they did.
That they did do the chuppah? I think there were different opinions.
I mean,
right, so b'sh'akni satan, so b'pashtura kavanayu, they say that it happened before they got married. Okay, and they're still chai b'shumei sharish because they had kiddushin. That seems to be the pshat here. But we're going to see after, maybe the Gemara explains it another way, I think. Right. Some people say it, right. Then they explain it's dafka b'shat chupa that it happened because there's no other way that there could have been confusion. Once they're married, they're married. And before they're married, why can't it be before they're married? I guess why would they have gotten confused? The point is, under the chupa, that's where the confusion happened. And that's why they dafka say b'shat knisa l'chupa. But some people say that, right, there's a machloket. That's what it is. Some people say the Tosfot Rosh says it happened after the nisuin. Because when she's just an arusa, you're not chayav karet and chayav chatat, and therefore it's a bit different. So there's a machloket, whether it was dafka before, dafka after, or maybe exactly at the moment. Okay, so three-way options. Okay, we'll see. Now, we're going to see in the Gemara that they dafka took all these cases, because we're going to have Yisur Kolel, Yisur Mosif. They're going to talk about all the different types, the prototypes there. Okay.
Cool.